Ooh, weird. It stopped recording. That was funny. Oh, well, oh. I missed that first hello. But I got the rest of it. I don't know why it stopped. Freaks me out.
We're recording now.
We're recording now. I got the ringing, and then I missed a second there. But oh, well. Linda.
Cool.
How are you?
I'm great. I just walked by a dominatrix costume store.
Ooh.
So that's
big old
cool.
Latex bodysuit with an air vent.
Yeah.
Get yourself some latex.
Lots of metal hooks.
I get anxiety when I think about those big latex tables that some people like to be vacuum packed to.
Ew. I can't even think about that.
I don't like the idea of being vacuum packed to a table with a big sheet of latex, like as if I was a screen from a screen printer. It really stresses me out. Don't like it.
That's the worst.
Yeah. Does not make me horny.
Opposite.
You said you're all full of beans today? You're tightly wound? What's going on?
Well, I'm walking currently from the public theater to improv class. I just spent the day shooting a customer story because the public theater uses Help Scout.
Shooting a customer story. Tell me more about
this. Well, so they use our product, and, you know, when you have a little tech company, you like to film your customers talking about how they use it so that other people can be like, hey, I'm kind of like that.
Help Scout has totally transformed the way we interact with our customers. I can't imagine life without it.
Yeah, stuff like that. And then we get them to talk about their history a little bit and blah, blah, blah. Oh, but it was so cool. It was so cool because it's like this old New York institution. They are the people who put on like Shakespeare in the Park.
Oh, the public theater uses Help Scout.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were like using that as a space to shoot some other customer story. I didn't realize it was actually the public theater.
No, like the actual public theater uses it.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it was really cool. So they gave us a tour. And then the guy who was showing us around, I asked him specifically about what it's like to work with Paul Scher, or Scher, or however you say your last name. Because the Pentagram lady, has been doing their design for like... 15 years or the lady you learned about in art school.
A lot of ladies over there at Pentagram, really, just like the two, I think. Maybe there's more. I haven't looked in a long time.
I don't know, but you get the drift.
Mm-hmm.
The one you learn about in art school. Mm-hmm. So he showed me like specifically her poster gallery. So they have like a gallery in the theater of all of her posters, and then they also have a gallery of the posters that were done by the guy before she took over, Paul Davis. And, oh my God, his work is incredible. I would look up, if I were you, the Paul Davis Colored Girls poster. It is, like, one of the most beautiful things.
I'm looking it up right now.
And it just couldn't be more different from Paula's style. It's, like, very painterly, photorealistic.
Very different from Paula Scher's approach.
Yeah.
Well, very cool.
But yeah,
sounds like an exciting
cool.
day for you. You get to go somewhere, be on set. Now, what was your role? Were you like directing? Were you like say nicer things, smile? Like what were you doing?
Well, we worked with this video production company that has done like a lot of Help Scout videos for the last like 6 or 7 years. So they just kind of you say, hey, go film these people, and they're like, boom, done. They kind of go into autopilot because this is their bread and butter. But no, I just saw that they were using Help Scout, and I was like, ooh, I hope we can talk to them. So I like had our salesperson reach out and make an introduction. And I don't know what this would be called. Maybe a producer? Maybe I produced it?
Probably. I think producer is a pretty big bucket. It's like if you don't make it happen, you can possibly get a producer role.
Yeah, anything that wasn't technical, I helped to make it happen that way. I was like, we need to make this, and I'm going to make this happen. We're filming another one tomorrow with The Sill, which is like a plant store.
Yeah, the fancy plant store.
Yeah.
I know their website.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Well, very exciting day,
Linda. Looking forward to that.
So, I mean, how do you feel after a long day like that? Are you excited? Are you energized? Are you exhausted?
Well, the reason I was saying I was wound up is because I texted you being like, are you free to call me at 5:15 or 5:20? Like, I was, that's just kind of like the level that I've been at all day. Cause we were like waiting on this insurance form to come through that had like the right address on it to ensure the shoot, just in case anything goes wrong, so people aren't liable.
In case a hot lamp falls on somebody, scalds them.
Yeah.
Someone gets hit by a boom mic.
Yeah, exactly. So I was dealing with that stuff, and then.
Well, I appreciate the specificity. You didn't seem. I don't think you seemed needy or wound up via text message to me, at least. I thought something else was going on, which is why you said you were wound up.
All right. Sick. No, that's it. Because, like, we're filming. So I'm doing improv class tonight, and then we're filming this other thing at 6 a.m. tomorrow, and then I'm going upstate, baby.
You're like Miss Hollywood. You're on set all day in different places, going to improv class.
I saw one of the guys from Stranger Things on the train this morning. One of the boyfriends. What?
No, I never watched it.
It seemed like a thing you'd like.
Yeah, it seems scary, though. I don't like to be scared.
It's not scary.
It's a little scary?
It's a little scary.
I feel like a psychological thriller. I don't like to be psychologically thrilled. I like to be psychologically soothed. Give me a psychological soother. That's what I want.
Can do.
I'm a baby.
Okay, so what is the fucking storm name that's happening to us right now? Is this a nor'easter?
There's a storm happening right now?
It's like a wind storm.
It's
like
windy
all
as
of
fuck
New York.
Down here, too. It's windy, but I didn't realize it had a name.
Well, you and I talked once about nor'easters.
We did talk about nor'easters.
So I was wondering.
I don't think this
if
is one of them.
It was one of those.
I'm going to Google windstorm. I'm just going to go ahead and Google windstorm New York. I could Google windstorm Baltimore, but, you know, we're going to get less. Bomb cyclone leaves hundreds of thousands without power in Northeast.
So a
powerful
bomb cyclone.
Nor'easter packs heavy winds. This is a nor'easter,
ooh.
Linda. We got a fucking proper nor'easter on our hands.
I want to make a B movie called Nor'easter, and it's going to be like snakes on a plane.
Okay. I'm in for this. I expect you to say it'd be like The Perfect
the
Storm, except, you know, a different,
no.
like a parody of The Perfect Storm.
I want Samuel L. Jackson to be in it, is what I'm saying.
Are you going to put some sort of unexpected animal on some sort of public transit or something?
Yeah, it'll be like the Nor'easter Bunny.
Oh, no, there's wind in the subway. How did wind get down here, underground?
Oh, my God.
We're not equipped
for it. And the wind is just going to, like, fuck shit up.
Blow off somebody's toupee.
It'll blow like a whole train off the track.
Oh, watch your skirts, ladies. There's a wind in the subway.
Women don't wear skirts anymore.
Oh, they don't? Oh, see? I'm stuck in the
not
past.
Not in my movie.
Stuck in the past.
It's okay.
Well, cool, Linda. Very cool.
Yeah.
And you're going upstate. Is that for pleasure or for work?
Pleasure.
Pleasure.
Because I'm going to Mexico on Monday.
Good gracious, Linda.
I know.
Living up to the idea of the show. You're like you're
truly
bouncing around, and I'm like I'm over here re-grouting my shower.
True to the show. Yeah, this next couple of weeks of recording with you is going to be the most like on brand.
Get out
the
there, have an adventure,
premise.
And let's catch you in the Adventure Times. That's where I want to talk to Linda most.
Oh, but right now it's the best. Right now it's so good because New York is at its like peak fall cute time.
I love fall. I love it.
It's so good. Andy, I got a light jacket on and a sweater.
I thought you said a life jacket. And I was like, that is some next level fucking Brooklyn hipster fashion. Like, we're just wearing life jackets now. It's a statement about rising sea levels. You know, pretty soon you're going to need a life jacket on the Upper East Side. So,
yeah.
You know.
Look out for the new trend. Old-timey life jacket.
Mm-hmm. That could
sailor
be a,
hat.
That could be a performance art piece.
Yeah,
artist visits populated areas that are most affected by sea level rise over the next 30 years wearing a scuba mask.
Yeah, and I'll be like,
wow.
I'll be like making statements about the culture that we live in. And I'll be like,
fucking
I'm drowning. Yeah. Drowning in masculinity.
Drowning.
What other things can I be drowning in?
Oh, you could be drowning in capitalism. You could be drowning in colonialism. You could be drowning in neoliberalism. You could be drowning in
neoliberalism.
The rise of like neo-fascism. You could be drowning in white supremacy.
my parents' expectations.
Yeah, you could be drowning in gentrification. Oh no, I'm choking on yoga studios and expensive coffee shops. Cool. A lot of things to drown in these days, Linda.
There are.
Yeah. Did you end up watching the debate on
I did.
I was curious to know if you had thoughts about it. Did you want to recap after the debate? I'm curious to know what you think.
Yeah, so I was running late. I missed the first half of it because I was at a management panel. And
just cash doing a panel, you know.
No, I wasn't doing the panel. I was watching.
Oh.
Okay. I was in the audience.
Like a snork. I got it.
Yeah, what's a snork?
It's just a word that I picked up to describe like a normie.
Oh, okay, cool.
A bunch of snorks walking around, you know?
That's me, baby.
Anyway, so we have the second half of it.
Yeah.
What did you think?
And, oh my God, Andy. Biden totally lost me on this one.
Wait,
like,
he only now just totally lost you?
Well, he's, like, been losing me. He's been in the act of losing me.
Yeah,
and this week, yeah.
This did you
this
in?
Debate really put a nail in that coffin. You just saw his, like, grubby little hands being like, look, okay, I just deserve it. Like, that was his attitude. Was like, I put in my time, and it's just my time. It's my turn. I'm getting impatient. And, like, the way that he just steamrolled Elizabeth Warren when she was talking about one of her accomplishments, and he was just like, yeah, but I gave you those votes. I was like, oh, hell no. Uh-uh.
She dunked on him pretty resoundingly.
She did. She was like,
heavy shade.
Yeah, what did she say? She was like, I am very grateful for President Obama.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, shit. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Well, I'm glad that that Biden finally lost you. I hope there's many other people in your shoes out there across this great nation.
I mean, he never had a chance of being my candidate. But, like, at the start of all of these debates, I looked at him like a cute old grandpa, like, oh, Grandpa Biden, you're so dumb. You say the wrong thing sometimes. We forgive you, I
all
guess.
The time. His mouth barely works anymore.
Yeah, but now it's just like, nope.
Okay, so Biden completely lost you. Any other movers and shakers with regards to your opinions of potential candidates?
So I was impressed with Bernie. Like, I feel like people are just starting to show their true colors a little bit more. It really, like, Bernie has always been this way where he just seems like he's like, oh my God, this country is so broken. Please, for the love of fucking God, help me fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe him more than anyone on that stage when I feel like, no, he's thought about this for a long time and he hasn't moved. And he like genuinely believes in his message. But then, you know, there's like the health issues, and it's one of those things where, like, if like a woman had a heart attack, like, they would not be as forgiving, and everyone's just kind of like skirting by that issue, like it's not a big deal, which I think is the way it should be, but it's just like worth pointing out.
It's a reminder of the double standard.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like Warren's really it. Like, for a little while there, it was Kamala, and now, I don't know, she's kind of lost me. I think she's, like, tough. She's proud of her accomplishment and says she should be. But, yeah, I think that Warren has my vote right now.
How do you feel like you make these decisions and kind of come to these evaluations? Like, is it like a, like, you, it sounds to me like you actually are affected by the debates. And I was thinking the other day that I can't imagine really what I could see during a debate that would change my mind about a candidate, which is part of the reason why I don't really watch them. What is it that you respond to and connect to with people when they're up there trying to sell you on their vision?
I think it's just the politics, because I think that a lot of people go into a race and maybe they start from a good place, but then, like, as they start to grow a bigger and bigger platform, like, who is persuading them? And, like, I think that you can start to tell when, like, pharmaceutical companies might be, like, giving them a really big investment or endorsement, and they're like, oh, well, maybe I'll back off on the things that I said before about the pharmaceutical industry or whatever. I don't know. I think that you start to just feel like a little bit of sliminess coming out of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to watch them like deteriorate over the course of the debate. But you don't feel that. You are not like, I'm invested in this, and it's fun to watch them change over time.
It's not fun for me to watch. I get just anxious and angry when I watch debates, partially because of how flawed I think the like debate system is. I don't think it's a great system for people to actually make informed decisions about the candidates that are actually deciding voters. And I'm also very skeptical of just the influence of media on how people perceive the candidates. And I think it's like completely unavoidable. And like one of the biggest ones is just that, you know, the there's this like trend in the modern era, ever since like Nate Silver, where we spend a lot of time and energy trying to like predict the outcome of all of these things. And there's a lot of like people are already doing polls on how all of these, you know, 24 Democratic candidates would fare in a general election against Trump. And that's, you know, not for another year or whatever. And I feel like all of that kind of overanalysis can sometimes be self-fulfilling, where like, you know, the TV networks have to decide who they think the most likely and eligible candidates are. And then that's the ones they put on TV. And then by virtue of being put on TV, they're the ones that are in fact more likely and eligible. And same thing for screen time. And, you know, the way the questions are structured and like that whole system, I feel like, is just a big bias is not a positive influence on the idea of democracy and the spirit of democracy.
I mean, it does feel like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because I think that like all of the candidates went into this feeling like they had to take Warren down because she was like the candidate that everyone else had decided was like the
she was serving
runner.
The polls.
Yeah, and so then they end up talking to her more and giving her more talking time. Like, I think she had, like, 22 or 23 minutes of talking time, or, like, that was, like, five or something. I don't remember how many minutes. But it was, like, a lot more than even the next person behind her.
Yeah. And then, I mean, lots of studies have been shown that just whoever talks the most, that's who people are going to remember.
Right.
And whoever people remember is who they're going to vote for. Like, that's just kind of established. Every once in a while, I just remember the fact that ever since television was invented and we started broadcasting political debates, the tallest candidate has won every major election ever. Every single time. We've never elected the shorter candidate for president since television was invented, I believe. I could be wrong about that.
People are so dumb.
I've heard that many times. I remember specifically because people were talking about it when everyone thought Hillary was going to beat Trump. They were like, oh, this is the first time we're going to elect the shorter person. And then we didn't again.
And then we didn't.
Woo! That just,
well,
you know,
and this is where,
it's not a lot of data. It's only like, what, probably 12 or 14 elections since we started broadcasting political debates. But so it could very much be anecdotal. It's not statistically significant from a data science perspective, but it certainly is a little unnerving when you think about it.
Yeah. So I totally agree with your point on, like, this isn't how this should be done, and it's, like, a very flawed system of, like, a way to get the American people up to speed on who these people are and what they represent. But it's also, like, I want to know. I just want to be up to date on what the rest of the country is feeding themselves with. Because a lot of people won't even watch the debate. They'll just watch the talking points on Fox News about the debate.
Which is
make their opinions that way.
Talk about bias. Oof.
Yeah.
And so, people afterwards are always like, here's who won the debate. And it's like, you get such...
Yeah,
me,
that's not
like,
how it works.
That is so dishonest from a journalistic perspective to run an article with a headline saying so-and-so won the debate. Because you know that some people don't watch the debate. And then you write in that article. People aren't even going to read your article. They're just going to read the fucking headline because you take out Facebook ads or whatever. And then that's the thing people are going to think actually happened. And that's not an objectively provable thing. You cannot demonstrate that somebody won or lost a debate. At least not in this context.
Right.
Anyway, that happens, and then I just get mad at all the candidates pretty much being bad and not good.
There was a friend of mine worked at Bloomberg, and he was doing this like data graphic thingy with a bunch of other people where they were just like going through the transcripts from the debate, like during the debate. So they're doing this in real time, and they were highlighting every sentence that every candidate said and tying it back to a political issue. So that way you could quickly, like, look through who said what about gun control or healthcare. So they were, like, categorizing things that way. But every time Biden spoke, they said that they were having a really hard time tracking it back to anything.
Yeah, he's just like, he just talking really about his funny. Like childhood friends with weird nicknames that he grew up with,
yeah.
And how he used to like you hang know, out like... down by the creek and, you know, go down to Main Street and eat ice cream and, you know, stand next to his muscle car. Like, he's just, yeah, he's a fucking mess.
And there are weirdly candidates who brought up Ford and Chevy several times, so I don't know what that was all about.
Well, the United Auto Workers are striking right now, so it's kind of a
big deal,
which is a thing that the media is not really covering, unfortunately. You know,
yeah,
media bias, whatever. So yeah, well,
I saw that an important person in Baltimore's political arena passed away.
Yeah, Elijah Cummings. It's real sad.
Yeah,
not that old too. The guy was He was one of the very few like people in politics that I could be like, oh yeah, pretty much everything that guy does is something I can totally get behind. There's very few people I can say that of. Yeah, that was a big bummer today.
Citizen of Baltimore, were you like, did you feel that? Did it seem like people in the city felt that today?
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah.
Aww.
Instagram was a bunch of all my Instagram stories were all people talking about it. So.
Aww.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Rest in peace.
One of the good ones.
One of the good ones. Gone.
Not many good ones in politics, but he was one of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know. Politics. What are you going to do? I can't believe we have a whole fucking year before this goddamn election.
Right?
It's gonna be a real slog, Linda.
I know. Dude, I'm walking by another bondage store. Weird.
Well, I mean, there's got to be... How many bondage stores do you think are in... You're in Manhattan right now, right?
Yeah.
How many bondage stores are there in Manhattan? This is a great wits and wagers question.
I would guess... in all of Manhattan, like 8.
Okay. Oh, I think it's higher. So, I mean, what do you think, what's the population of Manhattan? You might actually know this. A couple million,
maybe? I actually don't know this.
It feels like it'd be a couple million. The population of the whole New York, of all 5 boroughs, I think is like 13 or 14 million. I imagine Manhattan is not the most populous. It's probably
Brooklyn,
Queens. I'll Google it for you and ask. Let's see. Here.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to guess 2.5 million is my guess.
Cool.
Population of Manhattan. 1.7 million, 1.63 million.
Okay.
All right, so 1.63 million. How many fun bondage toys are 1.63 million people buying? Let's do some quick Fermi estimation. What percentage of the population do you think has ever bought anything at a bondage store?
Well, this is where I'm particularly bad at things. Like, I feel like I have, like, a blindness to...
You're like, I don't know, 80%?
Right, like, population. Yeah, anytime somebody's like, oh, like, what's the population of that city? I'm like, I don't know, 18 million? And then it's like, oh, it's like 50,000. Like, okay. Well, whatever. Like, there's that thing where humans can't really define numbers greater than what, like, 11 or something. Like, it's like 8 or 11, then it just kind of becomes many.
Oh, I've not heard this.
Yeah, and there are, like, some tribes where, like, they haven't been introduced to, like, formal mathematics and things. And they actually, like, have their own way of, like, counting, and they have their own numerics and their own alphabet. And there are a lot of, like, number alphabets. Is that what that's called? That just go, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, many. Mm-hmm. And then they just have, like, this number that captures, like, lumps as opposed to specific
numbers.
But anyways, all right, so that's how big New York is. And then bondage stores in New York.
You think, I'm thinking maybe, it's got to be like 1% 2% maybe. And let's just, for the moment, just to simplify things, take out, I think most people buying bonded shit are buying it online now, but I think that's going to complicate our estimation too much. Let's assume all of these bondage stores you're walking by are Manhattan institutions. They've been there for, you know, for ages, and they'll outlive the fucking Amazons of the world. So I'm going to say, 1% of people, maybe, are going to buy a bondage thing at some point in their life.
Yeah.
So let's see. That brings us to what? 160,000 people in Manhattan buying bondage things. Did I do that math right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Two decimal places. Yeah. No, that's only one decimal place.
That's
16,000.
16,000.
Good
yeah,
God, I'm so
that
bad.
That seems like a lot.
16,000 people buying bondage stuff doesn't seem like that many. And how many customers do you think a bondage store needs every day to stay just keep its stores?
I don't know, like 20.
20.
12.
Let's say 20. So yeah, I mean, 800 days. Yeah, maybe your estimation's right. I think I kind of agree with you. Maybe like 8 or 9. Maybe you're right.
Okay, cool. I thought you were just gonna Google how many bondage stores are there in New York.
I could do that right now too. What's that? Google Maps, just type bondage and looking at Manhattan. This can't possibly go wrong.
Can't oh
wait
God.
To see what my
right, you're gonna Manhattan. Fuck up your ad search.
Manhattan
yeah.
bondage. Here we go.
Oh boy. Yeah, you gotta look it up on maps.
Yeah, I'm on maps.
Also,
just like, I want to see all the little pins pop up.
It's almost Halloween, so like people have their freaky shit out at the front of the store.
Linda, we did a pretty good, assuming that Google Maps can be trusted here, we did not a terrible job estimating. And also, I can also pretty much pinpoint exactly where you are. Did you walk past Purple Passions End Paddles?
Is it on 8th?
Let's see, zoom in a little bit here. Yes, they are both on 8th. Well, Purple Passions is 7th, actually. But
yeah, I've done a really long walk from like 8th Street to 8th Ave.
Yep. I think those are the two you passed. You could have also passed Latex Nemesis or the
Latex
Museum of
Nemesis?
Latex Nemesis or the Museum of Sex. But the moral of the story,
right.
Linda, is that we have 6 bondage stores in Manhattan.
Wow.
So pretty good
cool.
guess on your part. That was good.
Good to know.
Also, according to this map, none in the Upper East or West Side. I just don't believe that. They got secret bondage stores
like...
up there.
They're definitely secret,
yeah. They got, like,
because
weird
they're
places
definitely...
where you gotta know the code word.
But I could see something about, like, the upper class and the Upper West Side being like, ooh, I'm gonna be dirty, I'm gonna go to Lower Manhattan.
Oh, a little Hamilton thing, the rich people going down and you know, slumming it with the poors and going to their dirty bondage stores.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, good job, Linda. You did a really good job just guessing the number of bondage stores in Manhattan. I'm very
Thank
impressed.
You. Got my finger on the pulse out here. I have no idea how many people live here, but I know how many bondage stores are needed.
Well, to your point, that number
Keep
was well
happy.
Within the range of numbers you know, which is up to 8 or 11. This one was in that range, so you got there perfectly.
Exactly. Yay.
There's a great board game that I'll recommend to you and our listeners. I don't generally like trivia board games. I think trivia board games are bullshit. They're mostly not games. It's just an excuse to do trivia, and trivia for the most part sucks unless you're on a team, because then it's just, you know, taking a pop quiz. And pop quizzes are not fun. So that's my opinion of trivia games. That said, best trivia game I've ever played is a game called Wits and Wagers. Have you heard of this game before?
No, I have not.
So the way
Wits
it works is it is a trivia game. You get posed with a question, but all of the questions have numerical answers. So it will always be a question like, how many bondage stores are in Manhattan? Or, you know, what's the population of Kansas City? Or, you know, in grams, how heavy is the statue you get if you win an Academy Award? Or, you know, stuff like that. And it's mostly stuff that you wouldn't actually know, unless you're like a real weirdo. But it's stuff you could possibly come to some, like, reasonable estimation of, right? And then what happens is everyone writes down their answer on a little, like, whiteboard, a little erasable whiteboard. And then all the answers are submitted secretly and then turned face up, and you kind of put them on a little board from low to high, and then you bet with chips on who you think is right, like, you know, Price is Right style. So you get points for being right, but you get the most points for betting on the correct answer. So it's a fun way to, like, you know, pose a question to a group that you can have a big discussion about who you think is right and wrong, and then everyone gets to bet their chips, and then it's fun.
That's cool.
It's a good game.
I like that, like, all the pressure isn't on you just, like, being smarty pants who knows those kinds of things. You can exactly. be like, oh, you know what, their logic checks out. I get that.
Yep, it's fun. And then also sometimes you get to you get fun questions where the question's like, what's the fastest flying speed of the world's fastest insect? And the guesses range from, like, 6 miles an hour to 90 miles an hour. And you're
oh
like, all right,
God.
Well, some of us are very wrong. I'm
yeah.
not sure who's very wrong, but some of us are very wrong about this. It's pretty fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
I learned that mosquitoes travel about a half a mile an hour to a mile an hour.
You know what? Still too fast. Fuck those guys.
Yeah, they can go fuck themselves.
Get fucked, mosquitoes.
I don't like you. I'm glad it's, like, mosquito time is over.
Yeah, you're dead now. It got too cold for you.
Yeah.
Stupid, what's that type of respiration called where you have an exoskeleton and you just kind of breathe through your skin? What's that called?
I have no idea.
Anyway, you can't do that when it gets cold outside, mosquitoes, so you're fucked.
Yeah.
Get bent.
I gotta pee really bad right now.
Are you getting close to a destination where you can do that? Because being trapped in Manhattan having to pee is, like, the second worst thing I can imagine.
I'm getting pretty close. I'd say I'm, like, 5 minutes away.
Okay. Are you gonna be all right?
Hold on. Let's guess, because my maps is open. So I guessed 5 minutes away. I'm 9 minutes away.
Ooh, almost double.
It's okay. I can hold it that long.
Okay. I'll talk to you to distract you. So today I went for a really nice swim in, like, a big waterfall
swimming hole. Oh, you fuckhead. You're the worst. Like, I was so earnestly excited to hear this story. I was just like, well, you were swimming?
Yeah.
Where did you go?
No, I was just being a dickhead.
Just being a little dick.
Just being a dicky. Little rascal.
I just saw a poster that said, do something alone. Like, and it was like a little dog sprawled out in Central Park on a picnic blanket. And I think that's so sweet that somebody's advocating for, like, alone time.
Do we need to advocate for alone time? I feel like we're at a peak in society of alone time. Everyone's got their Vinci games and their, I guess.
Well, the doggy wasn't on his iPhone.
The doggy wasn't checking his Finsta.
Chilling in the park. The dog looked very present, living in the moment.
Mm, be like that dog.
Yeah, I just liked the dog, really.
Poster I feel like I feel like I'm in a space where, like, you know how, like, sometimes your life kind of comes in, like, seasons, these, like, vaguely describable chunks of your life where, like, things are going a certain way and then they kind of take a slight turn, you know, not like a huge dramatic U-turn, but like a slight adjustment in trajectory. I feel like I'm at that point right now. I feel like my life is
yeah.
I'm at the beginning of a new season, I feel like.
Whoa.
Yeah, I
tell
know.
Tell me more.
Well, it's a bunch of little things. They're just going differently. One of the things is I am going to take at least a month off from CrossFit. And
oh, wow.
Start going to a yoga studio every morning instead.
Wow.
So that's the thing I'm going to be trying because I'm tired of all of my bones hurting every day. I'm tired of my body hurting. I don't want to be in pain anymore.
Well, so, like, last week or 2 weeks ago, I hurt my knee.
Yeah, we talked
about it. Yeah, and so I just decided, you know what? I think I need, like, a whole month off spin. So
what's
I'm, like,
been?
Finding myself doing weird forms of exercise. Like, I took my yoga mat to the park, and I propped my iPhone up and watched a yoga video. And
nice.
Just did yoga by myself on the track.
Just like the doggy.
Just like the doggy. I was by myself. But, so did you already sign up for yoga, or is this, like, okay, I think I've decided?
I haven't actually signed the form, but I am essentially in. I mean, I've, like... I know which classes I'm going to. They're on my calendar. It's happening. I emailed the instructor to be like, just because the yoga class I'm going to, the only yoga class offered at the yoga studio convenient to me in the early morning, which is when I need to exercise for my schedule, is it's called Mysore. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. But it's like a specific kind of yoga practice that is, like, largely self-directed. And I emailed ahead of time to be like, hey, this is the class I want to go to for schedule reasons, but I notice it says it's largely self-directed. What about somebody who doesn't know anything about anything and is a total beginner? And they were like, that's fine. Come on in. So,
cool.
So I already made some contact with people.
Are you on the mission to touch your toes?
I would like to do that. I would like to be bendier in all ways. I feel like I actually got a little bit less flexible doing CrossFit, which is a bit of a bummer. So, that's a thing that's changing.
It is and it isn't, because I learned that as your muscles get stronger, you're strengthening the connective tissue between your joints. So, like, it feels like you're getting less flexible, but you're actually, like, holding your joints together better now. So, there's that. Feel a little better about it.
I'll tell
you. Did a good job.
I'll buy that because it makes me feel good. So,
I'll say
that's what's happening. So that's happening, and then at work, you know, we have this project manager, which is working out really well, so I'm kind of in, a new chapter of my professional life where I don't have to do a lot of the, management stuff I was doing previously.
Yeah.
I get to do my job more, and also have a little bit more time to, focus on the business a little bit in a big picture way, which is very satisfying. So that's going good. This is a small thing. We've talked about my gross ass shower on this podcast before.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time last weekend cleaning that up. Shower's clean now. So,
nice.
So that's going the right direction. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm just shifting a little bit. Oh, and then the side project we talked about last week is something else I'm also still very engaged by. And
I've
had one of those in 7 years, 8 years. So I don't know. Just feel like everything's a little different.
That's great.
Small changes, Linda.
Yeah.
That's what I'm comfortable with.
Yeah. But I wonder how much the changing seasons influence these small changes. For me, I think it's a lot. I don't have the same energy to go and jump around at a high intensity class when it's getting all fall time cozy outside. I'm what if I did yoga?
Yeah, I don't know. It's obviously the change in seasons are very important to me, and I feel like it does have a big effect on me. But this previous season I was in for probably a year and a half. In hindsight, I feel like I was kind of in the same mental space and prioritizing the same things for 18 months, maybe 20 months. And that season is categorized by CrossFit. It's categorized by my dad being sick and me being stressed out and focused on that.
Yeah.
It's categorized by stuff at work, not bad stuff, but a certain type of stress at work that is kind of no longer really a thing. So, yeah, it's just all those kind of little variables have changed within a couple weeks of each other, and I feel like a new sun is rising on a different season.
Yeah.
And we'll see what it holds for us, Linda.
Well, quick question, follow up on dad dying. Do you feel like you can think about that now with some distance? That's a thing that I just went through. Or are you still this is the thing I'm going through?
Oh, I mean, I don't feel like I'm actively going through it at all. Honestly, it sounds callous, but I don't really think about it much at all. I didn't really expect to, and I don't.
Yeah,
I don't think I feel any differently about it, really, than I did 3 months ago or whenever it was.
Huh.
It's a stressor that's gone because he was sick and unwell and that was causing stress. Very, very happy to get rid of, you favorited my tweet I saw, but finally got rid of Verizon and that fucking company.
That was causing you a lot of stress?
Well, of all the things that happened when my dad died that we had to deal with, the worst thing by a country fucking mile was dealing with his goddamn Verizon account. He had a Verizon account set up that we were also on some family plan that he was still the only administrator on, despite us multiple times, together going to a Verizon store or calling Verizon and saying, make sure that, me and my sister are also administrators on this account. He won't be around forever. We need someone to be able to control it. And they were like, all right, we did it. And they hadn't done it. And it took us 3 months to gain control of this account and cancel it and move people off of it. And it was absolutely horrible. This company is atrocious.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, I was genuinely just when I got the first bill from Google Fi, which Hillary and I moved to, and it was so much cheaper and not at all a headache. I was like, oh my God, it's the greatest relief I felt in a long time to be done with that horrible fucking company.
I wonder how many companies overlook that use case. Person dies, what happens next? I know Facebook's all about it because my grandma's who's going to take over my Facebook account when I'm dying? And I'm that's the last thing that I want to have to think about.
Yeah, that's not a fun
yeah.
List. No, they had processes in place, but they were just all horrible, and their entire customer support is terrible, and every time I called to talk to anybody, nobody knew anything about anything, and I had to start from the beginning with the whole thing. And it's not anybody, it's individual like, customer service person's fault because they're not empowered to fix anything.
Right.
Because the way that this
exactly.
system perpetrates itself is that this big, remote, evil corporation just doesn't give anybody any power to be human or, do the right thing for anybody. And so,
right.
you know, I go into a Verizon store and they're like, sorry, we don't do anything with that kind of account here at all, ever. So you can call this phone number and I wish I could help you, but I can't. And it's like, great. That's just all that ever happens. I call somebody and they can't help me. And they give me some other number to call and I call them and they can't help me. And that happened for 3 months.
That really sucks.
Yeah.
Well, good riddance, Verizon.
Fuck them.
Go fuck yourself.
I assume you're at your destination now. I hear building voices in the background. You said you had to pee. I don't want to keep you from that.
Yeah, I'm a block away.
All right, let me, I don't think we have a sponsor this week. Let me double check, though. While I'm looking up, we have a sponsor this week. If you want to sponsor Earth to Linda, you can by sending me $4 through Venmo or Square Cash or Apple Pay or PayPal or really any way.
Yeah.
I just got too many of these ways. And there is no sponsor this week, I confirm. So we sponsor free, Linda. So you are good to pee. Sponsor free.
Yay! Yay! Oh, I'm a block and a half away. I can't wait.
You got further away. You were a block away before. Now you're a block and a half away.
Linda,
you're going the wrong direction.
I can see where I actually am, and it's not where I thought I was.
All right. Well, any parting thoughts before you head off to improv?
Parting thoughts. Enjoy this weather and this time while you have it. And don't accidentally set your house on fire while you're making popcorn like I almost did last night. I had one of those moments that you said you had where you're like, oh, there's a small grease fire.
Mm.
I'm going to put this out calmly. And I also put it out calmly. And I was like, that could have been bad.
Nice work.
Yeah. That's my parting thought. Be careful around open flames.
All right. And with that, we leave you.
Right.
Bye, Linda. Have a great class. And I'll talk to you in Mexico next, I guess?
Yeah, I'll talk to you on Monday from Mexico.
All right, I'll talk to you when you are in a warm climate. Bye-bye.
Bye.